Well, please turn in your Bibles to Proverbs 1, page 650 in your pew Bible, and Lord willing, we will make it to page 651 by the time we're done this morning. Proverbs 1, beginning in verse 20, we will go through the end of the chapter, Lord willing. Proverbs 1, beginning in verse 20, this is what the word of the Lord says to us this morning. Wisdom shouts in the street. She gives forth her voice in the square at the head of the noisy streets. She calls out at the entrance of the gates in the city. She utters her sayings. How long, O simple ones, will you love simplicity? And scoffers delight in scoffing, and fools hate knowledge. Turn to my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit on you. I will make my words known to you. Because I called and you refused, I stretched out my hand and no one paid attention, and you neglected all my counsel and were not willing to accept my reproof, I will also laugh at your disaster. I will mock when your dread comes. When your dread comes like a storm and your disaster comes like a whirlwind, when disaster and anguish come upon you, then they will call on me, but I will not answer. They will seek me earnestly, but they will not find me, because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of Yahweh. They were not willing to accept my counsel. They spurned all my reproof. So they shall eat the fruit of their way and be satisfied with their own devices. For the turning away of the simple will kill them, and the complacency of fools will destroy them. But he who listens to me shall dwell securely and will be at ease from the dread of evil. This week, we get introduced to Lady Wisdom, a lady that we'll talk more about in just a minute. But I want to make sure that you remember what we discussed last week. And if you weren't here, I want to make sure you're aware of it, because the flow of this whole section has to be kept in mind together. Chapter 1, beginning in verse 8 through verse 33, could be one section. It could be one sermon. I intentionally made it two, but I want to make sure that you see the way that they flow together. The Father tells the Son, Son, when you go out into the world, there are going to be sinners that are going to entice you. You are always to resist them. When Lady Wisdom calls to you, always listen to her. Sinners will tell you to join them in their actions. You must go the other way. But when Lady Wisdom points the way forward for you, don't ever hesitate to go her way. Every single time sinners entice you, they are calling you to harm and evil. But every time Lady Wisdom calls you, she's calling you to righteousness and peace. The sinners will march you towards death. Lady Wisdom will point you towards life. This is the contrast that's set up in Proverbs 1. And so after spending our time last week going over multiple reasons why the sinners must be resisted, why they must be rejected, this week we come to this lady called Lady Wisdom, and we're going to hear why she must always be listened to. And again, I'm going to warn you, as I read the passage, you probably felt this is a weightier passage. Not every passage in Scripture gets the same volume or tenor or tone. You don't preach a sermon on hell for the same way that you preach a sermon on marriage. If you do, that tells us about your marriage, but that's another story. If you preach a sermon on raising children the same way you preach a sermon on repentance, again, you're not matching the tone of the text. We come to a heavy text this morning. We come to a weighty text this morning. Lady Wisdom is not playing games. God speaking through her in our text is not just simply trying to scare you. He's trying to confront you with truth so that you would embrace the severity of a section of Scripture like this as God's intended wake-up call for you. Again, remember the illustrations and language and points. They come across extreme in this passage because they are. This highlights the level of importance of what Lady Wisdom has to say to you this morning. We're talking about God's wisdom calling out to you and your responsibility to take it. We are not talking about making sure you listen for the ice cream truck that drives by, because if you don't, you might miss out on a treat. Or, hey, next time the peanut guy comes by, make sure we grab him, because when he calls out, I want to make sure I get my snack. We're not talking about that kind of meaningless calling. We're talking about wisdom personified. And if you ignore her, this passage makes it clear that it will hurt. It will hurt in this life to various degrees, and it will hurt in the one to come. So again, each one of you, Christian and not, mature and immature, wise and foolish, old and young, male and female, everyone has to listen to what Lady Wisdom calls to you this morning. This passage is going to instruct us on how to listen to her. We're going to learn from this passage how to not only let these waves, sound waves, hit our eardrums, but let it be received by faith. Proverbs 1, 20 to 33 promises to make you wise if you respond rightly. And so in this passage, you'll see four ways you must listen to wisdom in order to be wise. Four ways to listen to wisdom in order to be wise. And number one, you're going to see, listen to wisdom's call to you. Listen to wisdom's call to you. Verse 20. Wisdom shouts in the street. She gives forth her voice in the square. And the first and most obvious thing, I've already referenced it, but the person we're talking about here is this woman called Wisdom. In verse 20, we're dealing with what's called personification. Wisdom is not a person. Wisdom doesn't walk down the street. You don't see a wisdom and go pick it up. That's not what it is. But in Hebrew poetry, it's personified here. It's given personal attributes. And here she is, and Solomon speaks of her as if she's a woman, and the whole book will use this language. Again, chapter 2 will show that wisdom is owned by God. Chapter 8 will show that God is the one who owns wisdom and used wisdom in order to create. Chapter 3 and chapter 8 will speak to how God used wisdom in creation, which is one of the ways I try to remember this is consider, this can fall apart in many ways, but you'll get my point. The earth would be like a cake that God baked, and the main ingredient is wisdom. He baked it into the world. And when you refuse to listen to wisdom, it will hurt. And we learn that from Proverbs 8, where we'll get to eventually. This world works with wisdom, and when you abandon God for sinful folly, you mess it up. But again, things don't have to be like that. If you'll simply listen to Lady Wisdom, according to Proverbs, you will receive all kinds of blessings through her in this life. You'll live with confidence in this world because God made this world with wisdom. Again, since this is the first time we've met Lady Wisdom, I do want to call attention to a specific issue that some of you are wondering what my opinion is on it. Others of you have never heard this before in your life, so just buckle up. But in my understanding, Lady Wisdom is just simply Hebrew personification. I do not think Lady Wisdom is Jesus pre-incarnate. It gets taught that a lot. I'll go ahead and tell you, I'm in the minority here. If you go back in the early centuries of the Trinity debates, Proverbs 8 was one of the main passages they use to prove Jesus is God, and I just never use it that way. I don't view her as Jesus pre-incarnate. I do view Jesus as wisdom incarnate. Paul says in Colossians that Jesus is the wisdom of God. So I'm good with that, but to then look back and call Lady Wisdom pre-incarnate Jesus, it just does too much to the text. Jesus doesn't belong to God, like Proverbs 8 says. And if Lady Wisdom is Jesus, who's Lady Discernment? And also chapter 8, if Jesus is Lady Wisdom, who is Lady Folly? Is that the Antichrist? Or I don't know who that is. So again, you see overlaps because God's wisdom is personified in Lady Wisdom. And then you see Jesus, who is the wisdom of God in flesh. You see overlaps, but I don't read Lady Wisdom as pre-incarnate Jesus. So I can say things about her that aren't necessarily going to be the same with Jesus because they're not the same person. Some of you say, I have no clue what you're talking about. We'll get there in chapter 8. But I just want to introduce you to that this morning. When we get back to Proverbs 1, we see this lady, Lady Wisdom. And what's she doing? She is street preaching. In verse 20, it says she shouts. It says she gives forth her voice. In verse 21, she calls out. In verse 21, she utters her sayings. What wisdom has to say is not only to be said in the home, is the picture we're getting. It's not only for people who grow up in good families. You don't have to have a father like David or a father like Solomon to hear wisdom. Wisdom is out in the streets offering herself to everyone and anyone who will listen. Everyone can have wisdom if they'll just listen. And again, I make that plain to you because in the text, she's clearly declaring herself to everyone. She's not hiding. She's not whispering. She's not murmuring. She's loudly shouting in the streets. Again, like the father got in front of the son and is helping give him a heads up of what's coming, we see Lady Wisdom getting out in front of the people, going to them, not waiting on them to come to her, going to them saying, "You need me." And so she goes where they are. Look at verse 21. At the head of the noisy streets, she calls out. At the entrance of the gates in the city, she utters her sayings. What Lady Wisdom is saying has to be heard, but the streets are so noisy. Again, we don't really have like a market center like this in McPherson that I'm aware of. But just in your head, just picture Times Square, New Year's Eve, right? It's lit up with action. There's voices everywhere. And she's going out and raising her voice up to make sure above everyone else she's being heard. This is what she's doing. She gets as loud as she can. She's bound and determined to be heard by everyone around. And she is not content with merely talking. Again, she's shouting. She shows us what it looks like to be concerned that the people to whom you're speaking actually hear you. Again, even just reading this myself this week, when I think about my personal commitment to being faithful to the Word, I try to do that. I try to make sure I uphold what it says and preach what it says. I do think it's easy for people like that, people like myself, to fall into what's a cold orthodoxy, a cold faithfulness. And so you start evaluating, did I say it rightly? Did I say it clearly? Does everyone, can they leave with no excuses? And it's easy to promote that kind of faithfulness over actually wanting to be heard. And people reject it and you go, well, it's not my problem because I said what I needed to. We don't see that at first with Lady Wisdom. She's out in the streets screaming, pleading, crying out. She cares about people hearing her. It's not a cold proclamation. Again, don't let our required commitment to faithfulness rule out a caring commitment to faithfulness. Again, we want to learn from Lady Wisdom here on not only going to people who need this kind of wisdom, but actually saying it in a way they can hear it and caring that they listen. These are the cries and calls of someone who knows they must be heard or else others will suffer. She wants to be received. She wants to have her words ring in their ears, go into their hearts, and come out in their lives. Again, she's going to the people. She's highly interested in them listening to her. She wants them to receive what she's saying. And that's what she's doing in verse 22. Listen to what she's saying. How long, O simple ones, will you love simplicity? And scoffers delight in scoffing, and fools hate knowledge. She begins with what seems to be this exasperated cry of, how long? Again, this lets you know that this is not the first time she's cried this out. She has been met repeatedly and over again with rejection, with people ignoring her. This is not the first time they've heard her. This is not the first time she said these words. These sinners have heard her voice for a while, at least long enough to be exasperated. And she says, how long? And she lets you know the three groups she's talking to. She talks first to the naive or the simple ones. These are the gullible ones. Remember, we talked about the word simple means open. And so this is kind of your most naive, your most endearing fool. And I don't mean like we like them. I just mean you feel the most sympathy for them. They're the place that everyone begins. Every human is born a simple one. Your mind is wide open. You have no convictions. Things go in and out just as quickly as they do one way and the other. These people are not committed to wickedness. They're not committed to righteousness. They're not committed to foolishness. They're not committed to wisdom. They just aren't committed. Again, they don't live with convictions. And that's what keeps them rejecting wisdom. Look, it says, you love it. You simple ones, how long are you going to keep loving being simple? This is why she asks what she does. How long will you love your simplicity? How long will you love your supposed free-thinking way of living? How long are you going to walk around this world refusing to drop anchors in anything? That's the first group she calls to. The second group is as far the other way as it gets. Remember a few weeks ago, I told you John Kitchen started it in my brain, but there's a staircase in Proverbs for fools. You start off as a fool in that half of the world. You start off as a simple one, as a gullible one. Your mind's not committed to anything. It's just wide open. You're as convicted as the last person you talk to. That's who you are. If you do not do anything about that, if you don't commit to wisdom and go the other way, you will find yourself going down what I would now call an escalator, and you'll get to the bottom, which is the scorner, the scoffer. And that's the other person she talks to. Every human in Adam starts off as a simple one, and if you leave that unchecked, you will end up a scoffer. The simple is convictionless. The scoffer is full of convictions. They are convinced more than anybody else on the fool side. They're just convinced of all the wrong things. They ridicule and they mock Lady Wisdom when she calls out. These are the guys that aren't just walking by plugging their ears. They're pointing and laughing. They're telling other people why she's a fool. This is what these mockers do, these scoffers. These are your high-handed sinners who shake their fist at wisdom and know what they're doing. Whereas the simple, again, they just lack commitments to anything. The scoffers are committed to their way, and they will ridicule anyone and anything that gets in it. Again, why do they do it? Lady Wisdom tells us it's their heart. They delight in scoffing. They get pleasure from making fun of wisdom. It's a joy to them to make wisdom look like foolishness. These scoffers hate wisdom so much that they actually like her coming around. And the reason they like her coming around is because now they get to make more fun of her. So you have the simple, you have the scoffer. And again, using that staircase analogy, let's go back to the simple. The step below in Proverbs would be this third category, fool. This is just the generic and most common word for fool in Proverbs. Everyone starts off as simple. You leave that unchecked, you'll ride the escalator down to the next level, which is this idea of a fool. And I'm not trying to be crude here, but some versions translate it stupid. A lot of your versions will translate this word that way in Proverbs. It's someone who's dull. But it has nothing to do with their mental capacity. It has nothing to do with their IQ. It has to do with their moral and spiritual bankruptcy. It's not that they have low test scores on the SAT or whatever it is you take. It's the fact that they've rejected wisdom, which just calls them, let's just call them an axe. Their rejection of wisdom, that axe starts to get more and more dull. And that's what happens over time as you reject wisdom more and more. This is why in Proverbs 12:23, this fool has folly come from his heart. This is why in 15:2, the fool pours forth folly from their mouth. Go over to chapter 13. Go to chapter 13, verse 19. This is how dull in their thinking they are. Proverbs 13, verse 19, desire realized is pleasant to the soul, but it is an abomination to fools to turn away from evil. Listen, not every sin in the Old Testament gets called an abomination. Every sin is sinful, don't misunderstand me. But there are certain ones that God specifically calls out as an abomination. On the fool side, they consider it that unique word abomination. It's an abomination if you turn away from evil to righteousness. You can go back to Proverbs 1. This is how backwards they are in their thinking. To them, foolishness and folly pours forth from their heart, out of their mouth. If you say, I'm turning from evil, I'm going to turn to wisdom, they'll say that that is an abomination. And so like the others, their problem again is in their heart. Lady Wisdom says, you hate knowledge. Rather than loving knowledge, these fools hate knowledge. They hear Lady Wisdom and they don't love Lady Wisdom. They don't want to hear Lady Wisdom. She explicitly says, you hate me. Again, in commenting on these three sinners, I mentioned his name earlier, but John Kitchen, he said, the problem lies in our affections. We love what ought to frighten us. We delight in what should repulse us. We hate what should be most cherished. Wisdom rightly asks, how long? And so that's the question in front of you this morning. How long will you do this? How long will you hate the things that you know God says you should love? How long will you love the things that you know God says you should hate? How long will you do that? How long will you do what you're doing instead of what you need to do. Verse 23, look at it. Turn to my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit on you. I will make my words known to you. Instead of plugging your ears to Lady Wisdom, she says you need to turn. Again, this is the Hebrew word that's often translated repent. If you're driving to Canada and you see a sign for Mexico, repent, turn around, go the other way. Instead of plugging your ears and going your own way even more determined, listen to Lady Wisdom, turn to her, repent, quit going that way, come this way, quit ignoring her, and listen. She says, listen to my reproof, which in our modern vernacular, we would use the word maybe correction or rebuke. You see someone and I'm teaching you, go this way. When I see your foot step off the way, I'm going to correct you and put it back on. That's what she's doing. Again, she's not only teaching them, as we'll see in other passages, but she's plainly letting them know you've stepped off course. And they'll have none of it. She's correcting them and they don't like it, which again, just be honest, you don't like it either naturally. People do not like to be corrected. You said that wrong, or you did that wrong, or you're not holding it right, or you're not throwing it right. You don't like that naturally, unless there is one way you like it, if you know that it actually helps you accomplish what you want to accomplish. If I have a desire to be the best basketball player I can, then I'm going to hear my coach's correction in a good way. I want you to help me. I know I don't know how to play as well as I should. I need you to teach me. So when he says, don't hold your hand there, hold your hand here, I'm going to go, okay, that's helpful because I know I need that correction to get where I want to get. Again, when you're driving somewhere and you really want to get where you're going, your GPS says you've made a wrong turn, you know it's foolish to just keep going your own way. Whatever, all roads lead to the same place, I'll get there. You listen to the GPS, you turn around, you make your 5 or 12 point turn, whatever you have to do, and you start going the right way because you really want to get there. So it's like, man, I'm so thankful they just told me I made a wrong turn. I wouldn't have known it otherwise, and I would never gotten where I wanted to. But these people, they are so bent on doing their own thing, their own way. They love it. They delight in it. They hate Lady Wisdom. And so Lady Wisdom calls to them, and they will not turn to her. They will not listen. She says, you are wrong, and they just keep plowing straight ahead. And what does their refusal do to them? It keeps them from those two blessings that she talked about. First, she says, if you'll turn, then I'll pour my spirit out on you. Again, Lady Wisdom being personified, the spirit of wisdom, not necessarily trying to say too much more there. It's tied to, and I'll make my words known to you. So if you'll turn and listen to wisdom, not only will the wisdom, the spirit of wisdom, become a part of your life, but it does that because the words are a part of your life. The spirit of wisdom in connection with the words of wisdom are how they get ingrained into your heart. She will uncontrollably gush out her spirit to you. And she'll do it with the clarity and precision of words. So you don't get feelings of wisdom, you get words of wisdom. And it starts to make more sense because the spirit of wisdom is what's helping you think clearly. She'll be yours if you will listen to her, if you'll turn to her. And it's such a good reminder on every single morning, but especially mornings when we're gathered like this. Again, so many of you in here need to hear that God has so much more in life than what you're living. God has so much more to give you. There is no area of your life that is as good as it could be. Lady Wisdom is the pathway to those kind of blessings. She promises, if you'll turn to me, if you'll listen to me, if you'll quit taking matters in your own hands, if you'll quit leaning on your own understanding, we'll get there in chapter 3. But if you'll quit doing that and turn to me, I will pour out my spirit of wisdom, my words of wisdom, where you'll know how to walk in life. We live in a world that's full of noises. I used the Times Square ball drop setting earlier, but just picture voices all around you. Picture voices inside of you, not real voices inside of you, but your flesh. You hear all sorts of things all through the day, and Lady Wisdom is saying, I am here, calling out, shouting, turn to me and live. Proverbs is going to inform you, talk to you about every single area of your life. Pretty much, if you made broad categories of your life, I don't know of a one that's not touched by Proverbs. We see that with Lady Wisdom going out in the street. She's going out where they're doing markets and commerce. She's going where they interact. She cares about every single second of your life, and she wants to put her spirit in you and her words in you to help you know how to live every area of your life. So again, how will you listen? Number one, you must listen to wisdom's call to you. Secondly, listen to wisdom's call to safety. Listen to wisdom's call to safety. Again, a life spent listening to wisdom is going to be a life safely lived. That's a pleasure and a joy and a blessing in life that never ends. And I want to be clear, Proverbs is going to have a heavy focus on like boots on the ground. When you listen to God, your eternity is far more blessed than you'll ever realize. But Proverbs is specifically interested with your Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday afternoon. And so Proverbs is saying, if you'll listen to me, I'll keep those things safe. You won't have to look over your shoulder. You won't have to wonder if what you did honored God. But ignoring her only puts you in harm's way. Again, remember, this is God's world. He baked the cake, if you will, with wisdom all throughout it. And therefore, foolishness always puts you in danger. When you try to live in God's world without God's wisdom, it hurts. And so wisdom calls out, how long will you do this? She's been calling to them for quite some time. I don't know how long, but long enough to be exasperated. And she says, how long? Well, what have they been doing instead of listening? Look at verse 24. Because I called, you refused. I stretched out my hand, no one paid attention. You neglected all my counsel. You were not willing to accept my reproof. So she's called, and again, notice, it's not like they couldn't hear her. It's not like she stretched out her hand and it just couldn't be seen. Again, one person illustrated it with, imagine you're hiking, someone's dangling off the side of a cliff, and you go, here, I'll help you, and you reach your hand out, and they just don't even acknowledge your hand. It's like, you really think you're going to get out of this on your own? And by not reaching out for the hand, they're saying, yes, I do. But they still dangle there in danger. So again, what's the problem? We go back to the problem is their heart. The problem is their affections. They hate her words, so they refuse to listen to her call. They completely ignore what she says. They don't even recognize her hand that's reaching out. They do nothing with the instructions that she gives them. They refuse to embrace her corrections. She, again, the text says she stretches out, she teaches, she corrects, and all of it's rejected. Again, someone's rejected in a very passive way. They just did nothing. So someone reaches their hand out to help you, and you just keep staring off into the distance. Other forms of rejection are a lot more active and clear. Don't reach your hand out to me. I hate you. That would be a lot more obvious. But in both cases, they're both rejecting her. One more obvious, one more secretly, one more blatantly, one more kindly. But they're still rejecting her. And that's something we've got to make clear. As long as you fail to receive wisdom, you are in the same category of those who reject her. So, well, I'm not rejecting her like these murderers, or I'm not rejecting her like these serial whatever. I'm rejecting her in a way where I'll just get to her later. Again, you're in the category of rejecting her according to Proverbs. And because of this, one of the things I've been trying to emphasize in our evangelism class on Wednesday nights is everyone always responds. We've got to get this out of our thinking where when I speak God's word to someone, they will respond either positively, receiving it, or they'll respond negatively by saying, I don't like that. Or maybe there's this third category where they say, let me think about it. But I want you to see from Proverbs, even let me think about it is a rejection because it's not a reception. You receive wisdom or you reject her. It's an on-off switch. It's binary, left or right. If God tells you something in His Word, you don't negotiate. You don't check to see if it's a good idea. When God speaks, you listen or you don't. You obey or you don't. Your disobedience, again, it may look very different, but it's all on the form of on the side of disobedience if it's not obedience. One of the illustrations you've heard before, but if I tell one of my kids, I say, hey, come over here to me. There's, I think, limitless ways he can not obey that command. He could say, no. Or he could say, and just not move. He could lay down. He could go to his room. He could go to his mom. He could just think of all the ways he could not obey, but there's one way to obey. Come over here. And that's what Proverbs is trying to drill into you. You respond by receiving wisdom, or you respond the wrong way. Again, Kitchen said it this way: whether through conscious rejection or distracted indifference, the rejection of wisdom is costly. The picture is one blindly marching toward a precipice, yet resolutely refusing all offers to help them turn back from this impending doom. And so all these people in all kinds of ways have only refused Lady Wisdom. And she's letting them know this will not work forever. You can't live in God's world without God's wisdom as long as you think you can or as well as you think you can. Eventually, you will miss the safety that God's wisdom provides. Look at verse 26. I will also laugh at your disaster. I will mock you when dread, I will mock your dread when your dread comes. When your dread comes like a storm and your disaster comes like a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come upon you. Again, I can't stress it enough. The more that you try to live this life without listening to wisdom, the more the words of this book that are ignored, the more your life will hurt. And again, you've got to just ask when you're dealing with people like this, dealing with yourself, what did you expect? What do you expect to happen? God condescends and talks to a creature, and not just a creature, but a rebellious creature who needs his help. And he tells you words that you don't receive, and we just expect it's just going to forever continue this way. When you read Proverbs 1, 26 and 27, you have to ask, what else did you expect to happen? This will never be okay. The text makes it clear when you refuse to receive wisdom, you're refusing to listen, you're refusing to turn from your own way to her way, and eventually disaster and dread will overwhelm you. You have chosen willfully to live foolishly. And then to you, because you're a fool, seemingly out of nowhere, your whole life just crashes down. The storms in Israel, even at this time, they can come not only extremely violently, but quickly and leave just as quickly. And this is part of the imagery going on here. This storm swoops in and like a tornado, he says a whirlwind here, it comes in unexpected, out of nowhere for this fool, and destroys them and is gone, and they will not survive. Again, this is what Pharaoh realized too late. His land, his firstborns, his own firstborn, his whole army got destroyed. Why? He ignored Yahweh. You think about those who started to feel the rain fall on their arms, their head, after listening to Noah preach for years and years and years and years. And what'd they do? They ignored Noah. And rather than listening to him and finding safety in the ark, they're stuck outside now with no way to get in. And they are stuck and they will drown to death. This is what Lady Wisdom says headed your way when you ignore her. You're the one that did the plugging of your ears. You're the one that went your own way. And when misery comes on you, she says, I'm going to laugh at you. I'm going to ignore you. Her response is a mocking laugh, a laugh of derision. Again, she called you. This is kind of the ultimate, I told you so. This is like God laughing in Psalm 2. Lady Wisdom now laughs at your terrible downfall. And this is not about jokes. Again, I have little pet peeves that come out every now and then. Don't say God has a sense of humor because Scripture says he laughs. And this is not about God having a punchline, a joke. This is about God laughing in derision over his enemies that have been conquered because they wouldn't listen to him. This is about him looking at enemies that are fallen under their foolishness, and he's laughing like someone who's conquered now. God told you, listen to me and live, and you ignored him, and now you're dying. You ignored Lady Wisdom's call to safety, and your world is falling apart just like she said it would. Again, we sit here, and in our day, the way that we've been trained and cultured, this sounds so harsh. And I'm telling you, it is. It's supposed to be harsh. This is a harsh dose of reality that's meant to wake all of us up. It's meant to sober us up where we're sitting right now, because if you continue to plug your ears to Lady Wisdom, this is where you're heading. Life in a fallen world is hard enough. Life in a fallen world with other fools around you is hard enough. Life in a fallen world surrounded by fools as a fool is as hard as it gets. And again, you're going to increase and harden more and more in your foolishness and expect some other outcome. That again is foolishness. If you see areas in your life where you know God has pointed you to a different way of wisdom and you continue to ignore that, don't think you'll avoid this. So on top of listening to wisdom's call to you and wisdom's call to safety here, or I'm saying on top of that, listen to wisdom's call to safety. Life does not have to be as hard as it is. Life doesn't have to hurt as badly as it does when you're foolish. And that's what we've seen so far. In verse 28, though, we get to what I consider the most chilling section. I know Lady Wisdom laughing at you in your distress is hard. This is harder. So listen to Lady Wisdom's call to you, to safety. And number three, listen to Wisdom's call today. Notice the flow of the passage. Lady Wisdom calls out. She continues to be ignored. And then disaster comes and falls on those who ignore them. And verse 28 says, then, after the destruction comes that you've earned, after that, then you'll call on me. Those waves are crashing on you. The tornado of dread has wreaked havoc in your life. And then you turn to her. Verse 28, what's she say? Then they will call on me, but I will not answer. They will seek me earnestly, but they will not find me. Notice they call on her after disaster comes. She said, listen, they said no. She said, disaster's coming. They said, no, it's not. And then once it came, then when they're in the middle of it, once they're seeing the wreckage of it, then they called out. And the text says she ignores them. Not only ignores them, but hides from them. The lady that was shouting in the street, pleading for people to listen, is now nowhere to be found. They call out to her. But it's these two terrifying words. It's too late. Again, what a haunting scene this is. These people are in misery. They're in anguish and despair and dread. And they finally say, okay, we need you. We need you. Hey, help. And they can't find her anywhere. I also want you to notice the switch that started in verse 28. Verse 22, you simple ones. Verse 23, you receive me, you receive my words. Verse 24, you refuse and ignore me. Verse 25, you neglect me, you don't want me. Verse 26, your disaster's coming. Verse 27, your anguish. Verse 28, they. She's done talking to them. She switches after the then to they. She went from talking to fools, now she's talking about fools. And her point could not be clearer. It's too late. She promises that she will not answer. She won't even allow herself to be found. At this point in our text, Lady Wisdom, who was calling out so loudly, is dead silent and hidden. They spent all day, every day around her for hours, every day. And then disaster crushes them. And now they look for her and they can't find her. Again, I think the simple point here is, not only must you listen to wisdom all the time, but more specifically, you must listen to wisdom today, right now. And I mean right now, like 10:17 in the morning right now. Because there's a time coming where it will be too late to listen to wisdom. And we all tend to think just eternal destruction. And that's there. I'll get there. But again, this is worried about your daily interactions. There are ways you reject wisdom every day, and you realize at the wrong time it's too late to call out for it now. Again, it may be something small. It may be something like you knew how God said to use your tongue, but you continued to use it in a foolish way. And so you hurt someone, and now you're standing in the rubble of a relationship, and you're going, okay, now I need wisdom. And Lady Wisdom's going, look, my wisdom's not going to help you with that right now. You already ruined that. Wisdom told you very clearly how to use your tongue. You're the one that closed your ears. You're the one that kept saying what you wanted to say, how you wanted to say it. In that situation, it's too late to ask how to handle this conversation now. You should have asked that before. But again, go to the other extreme. It could be too late, like those begging for reception at Matthew 7 judgment. When Jesus says, depart from me, it's too late to make an appeal at that point. At some point, whether in your daily life or your eternal life, at some point, everyone will wish they had listened to Jesus because they don't like the results of not listening to Jesus. They don't like what it means to not listen to God and His wisdom. And at some point, the reality will overwhelm them and set in that I have delayed too long. And so now I'm going to call out and I'm going to get no help. Again, you'll wake up one day and have this terrible anguish coming over you. You will say something like, what have I done? And again, I know those are painful moments, but what a blessing it is to have those little moments sober you up to not make that kind of a mistake with something as big as eternity. Eventually, if you keep ignoring wisdom, your small bits of rubble, your ruined relationships and ruined books at work or ruined coworkers, all that will lead to a ruined eternity. The sad reality of this passage is some of you in this room, you will call out for God's help and it will be too late. And so Lady Wisdom will ignore you. Verse 29, why will she do this? This seems harsh. Why? Verse 29, because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of Yahweh. They were not willing to accept my counsel. They spurned all my reproof. Bottom line, God gave them exactly what they wanted. Wisdom, leave us alone. Okay. God, we don't want to listen to you. Okay. Lady Wisdom ignores these hurting and suffering fools. She hides herself from them because that's exactly what they've done to her the whole time. She's giving them exactly what they've earned. They hated knowledge. They refused to choose the fear of Yahweh. They could not have made their desires any plainer. They are in the mess they're in because they refused to listen to Lady Wisdom when they could have. And so now that they need her, now they can't listen to her because she's not there. They hated and did not choose and were not willing to accept. They spurned her. When she taught, they rejected her. When she corrected, they persisted in their own way. And again, I just point you to the text. Look at them now. Do you think the people in the rubble in this passage wish they had gotten help a year earlier? Wish they had listened 2 years earlier? They're sitting here helplessly in disaster and dread. And then look at what she says in verse 31. So they shall eat of the fruit of their way and be satisfied with their own devices. Again, I wish I could ingrain this in your brain. Everyone in this room, this concept, the young and old, wise and mature, male and female, all of you, listen to this. As I open up the book this morning, as we read from it, as we talk about it, as you hear it, I can tell you on God's authority that this, again, is another call from Lady Wisdom to you. Say, well, I'm not a Christian. Again, it's a call to you. I'm a Christian already. I don't have to worry about it. It's a call again to you. No one is listening to wisdom like they should. This is another call from Lady Wisdom to you. She's pleading with you through me, just like she does through you to other people in your life at other moments in time. But right now, you're here sitting, listening to what I'm saying. And I'm telling you, if my words are accurate from this text, Lady Wisdom again is calling out to you again this morning and again asking, how long before you listen? What will it take? When will you listen? And my warning to you right now is at this point in the passage, listen to her before it's too late. Again, I know it's not normal to hear in our day, but it could not make it clearer that time will run out eventually. There will be a time where you will wish you had listened and it had been too late. Again, I told you the small and large scales that may affect. There are certain situations in your life right now that you know you should handle differently and you intend to do that another time. And Lady Wisdom saying, listen to me right now or hurt, pain, disaster is coming. The weight of that disaster will only get heavier and heavier. Misery will only increase until you listen to her. Proverbs 1 is showing you that you either listen to what God's saying in His Word or continue in your ignorance, continue in your ignoring, continue in your earplugging, and then one day you'll sit under the disaster you've created and God will mockingly laugh at it. You don't want that. Those who love you don't want that for you. When Lady Wisdom calls to you, you want to listen to her if you really want safety. You want to listen to her today, like we've seen in the text. And you do that by realizing your way is naturally foolish. You listen to Lady Wisdom by choosing the fear of Yahweh instead of leaning on your own understanding. You say something along the lines of, I know what I want to do, but I know what wisdom says I should do. I know what I feel, but I know how wisdom says I should respond. So I'm going to go to Lady Wisdom. I'm going to deny myself. I'm going to pick up this wisdom and I'm going to use it. Otherwise, with each decision you make, based on the illustration here, you've got to view each decision as you cultivating your garden. Every decision you make is more seeds being planted. Every decision you make is more watering. Every decision you make is more tending to it. And eventually, your decisions pile up and you will eat that fruit. If you've been laboring in foolishness, you'll get a plate full of bitter, foolish fruit that you will eat. If you labor in wisdom, you'll get a plate full of wise fruit that's sweet. But again, this text is showing you every decision you make in regards to foolishness and wisdom is you cultivating a harvest that you will reap. Again, the choice is yours. Will you listen to wisdom now or not? I'm especially pressing you this morning to listen to wisdom now. Again, I'm not saying go home and reflect on this. I'm saying do it now. If you want to listen, if you want to listen to wisdom's call to you and listen to wisdom's call to safety, listen to wisdom's call today, that's how you grow in wisdom. But we've got one more to look at. It's the last one there. Listen to wisdom's call to live. Verse 32, for the turning away of the simple will kill them, and the complacency of fools will destroy them. But he who listens to me shall dwell securely and will be at ease from the dread of evil. Again, such a helpful summary verse where we get the idea that wisdom has pointed in the right direction. She's thrusting her finger this way. Hey, go this way. And they turn and they go their own way. They turn away from her. They who are open, it says in the text, those who are simple, it will kill them. Their openness actually leads to their death. You've met people like this today. They refuse to have convictions on almost anything because they don't want to offend anyone. They don't want to harm anyone. They want to love everybody. And they actually end up loving nobody. And because they lack convictions on anything, their mind's just wide open. Here we learn that that kind of thinking is going to kill them. They think foolishness is a way to win friends and influence people, as the saying goes. They hear God speak and they contemplate what their friends say. They contemplate what their flesh is saying and they don't commit to what God says. They turn away. They're complacent, the text says, resting secure in a false way, living as though they're not in danger. When Lady Wisdom says, look ahead at what's coming. Again, the parent says, son, this is what's going to happen when you go into the world. Lady Wisdom says, this is what's going to happen if you don't listen to me. But here's the contrast that we've been waiting on. Here's the contrast that the Father's been building towards with Lady Wisdom. He says, but for those who do listen, for those who do reject foolishness, for those who do listen to wisdom's call, they will dwell secure and be at ease. This is the exact opposite of verse 26 and 7. The foolish people who pursue that by ignoring wisdom will never have it. The wise people who listen to wisdom will always have it. In those verses, the fools lack what the listeners get in verse 33. Both seeking it, only one finds it, because the wise are those who trusted wisdom over and above their own understanding, not their own ways. And again, just to bring it to you sitting in here this morning, the encouraging thing that this ends with, verse 33, but he who listens to me shall dwell secure and will be at ease from the dread of evil. The good news is at no point does this text talk about what you've done with wisdom up to this point. No matter how you've handled wisdom in your past, no matter how you're handling it presently, if you will turn to her right now, she still promises, I will pour out my spirit and my words, I'll make them known to you. If you will turn from your own way and live by her words, let her guide you, not your flesh, not the world, not the devil. And again, she's pressing you to do this today. For some of you, again, the first turning to wisdom you need is what we all understand as a turn to Christ. This needs to be highlighted in a passage like this because some of you right now, some of you are going to assume, yeah, you know what, I heard what he said and that was good. I do need to start getting a little serious about my life. I'll start working on that. No, do it now. You turn to Christ now. Don't assume you have later like the people in this proverb did. Some of you plan to pursue wisdom like you should just later. Some of you plan to do it when you retire or when the kids are out of the house. Or some of you plan to do it when you're in school and I get a certain break. Then I'll really be a wise person. But for now, I'll stay in my foolishness a little while. And it's understandable because I'm really busy. And we come up with all sorts of ways to delay it. The text is saying, do it today, now. Don't put it off any longer. You can have all that wisdom has to offer you today in Christ. You don't have to live harmful lifestyles anymore. You don't have to live at war with God and your neighbor anymore. You can live life the way God intended you to live it. All it requires is you to listen to Him. To know that you are the one who has wandered away and He's turning you this way. And you say, yeah, let's go back this way. You're the one who sinned against Him. And so you listen to Him first and foremost by listening to His Son coming to Him. You need Christ to forgive you for all the ways that you have been sinful and foolish. And you need Christ to give you the power you need to pursue wisdom. You need Christ to live. And that goes for all of us, even those who have come to Christ. We need to come to Christ again and again. Not just deciding we really should come to Christ, but actually coming to Christ. Come to Christ and receive His Spirit like He promised. Come to Christ, not just to come to the one who's wisdom personified. I mentioned that earlier. He is so helpful and watching how wise He was. But He's more helpful than that in that He helps you be as wise as He is. This is your only hope in this life and the one to come, for you to come to Christ. And His promise again this morning is if you will come, believer and unbeliever alike, if you will come to Him, He will lead you in wisdom for eternity, future, but also in your everyday life, today and tomorrow, all your days on earth, and every realm that you exist in. So our encouragement from Proverbs 1 is to come to Christ now and live. Let's pray.